back at Super Bowl headquarters, Miami Beach. And Hockman and Crowder simulcast rolls on. John Clayton, who's one of our friends, comes on with us all the time via the Washington Post, and he's doing his daily radio show in Seattle out here. Covering what number Super Bowl is it, John?
43. A mere 43.
43 Super Bowls.
That's amazing.
That he's covered. And obviously, I'll start with Kobe, and I would imagine you talked about it on your show as well because it's the prevailing news, and obviously we all expected we'd be talking a lot about Kansas City and San Francisco and the NFL, but there is a pall over everything a little bit today because of the Kobe news that happened yesterday. He transcended sport, correct?
He did, and of course, you can feel it on Radio Row today, and not probably as much as it was yesterday when everybody was setting up, because I understand when everybody found out about it while they're setting up, it was just almost like a complete silence because everybody was so stunned. And it's to me, and of course, I go back further than you guys, but I go back to when JFK was assassinated back in 1963. You know, I was like in Copeland Elementary School in Braddock, PA, and I'm sitting there and 9 years old or whatever, and I remember exactly what row I was sitting at. I remember how it was said, all those different things, and how the week transformed after that. Now, with the Kobe thing, I mean, I'm flying, and fortunately, I guess the TV, I had a DirecTV thing, so I'm sitting in row 8A, and I'm looking over, just happened to look at 7C, and I look on 7C, it says Kobe Bryant, 1978 to 2002, 2020, and that picture's never going to leave my mind. It's always going to be there.
I mean, it hits you with like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, because it's like, what happened? What happened? Because the Pro Bowl was in a commercial break. I didn't know what was going on, so they didn't have a chance to give the update. But another network was on the other station on 7C, and I'm going, oh, my heavens, what happened to Kobe Bryant? Because when you see the dates of a person under a name, you know something bad has happened. And then we found out what happened.
And, John, we were talking a little bit off air, and this is your 43rd Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't want to
age you. Does that mean I'm old?
I don't want to age you, but I'm 36. I've watched you when I was a kid. I couldn't even walk out. You were on TV. Was Kobe, like, was this the biggest loss? Because it just seems bigger. Like, we had Jose Fernandez down here. Yeah, we had different guys through the years. But is this the biggest loss you've seen since you've been covering sports?
Second biggest, because I grew up in Pittsburgh, and my favorite baseball player was Roberto Clemente.
Yeah.
And I still remember, particularly growing up and watching Clemente and just, being able to throw the ball from right field and just gun somebody down at home plate, the swing that he had, his ability to hit, all those different things. And here it was a December 31st, and he was helping out a charity and all that stuff, and he had the plane crash, and you just remember that. And of course, now all of a sudden it takes away a great person, a great player, somebody that you idolize. And the same thing with Kobe Bryant. I mean, the difference with Kobe Bryant is, he was a better athlete than Roberto Clemente, because now you're talking about one of the best athletes of any sport, a second generation basketball player who was raised internationally. I mean, who could speak Italian and speak different languages and all that. Very smart, great personality, and a great player. And then to have somebody that everybody idolized, pass away at the age of 41 in an accident like that. And then the visual pictures of all seeing, him and the smiling daughter, him smiling, and how much love you can feel in those pictures and everything else for his kids. And to lose that, a 13-year-old who was going to be a WNBA player. It's like, wow.
Yeah, it's incomprehensible is the word that we've been using all afternoon.
Yeah.
John Clayton is with us. You read his work in the Washington Post. You can hear him every day on ESPN Radio in Seattle. We are here because of the Super Bowl, and let's talk about it for a moment. You've got San Francisco and Kansas City matching up on Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium. Kansas City's about a point or a point and a half favorite right now. Do you see this being a close game, the way that the odds makers are looking at it?
I see it, which means it probably is not going to be the case. I mean, it's like, you could see that, because I thought it was going to be a close game with Green Bay going back out there with Aaron Rodgers, and it turned a very one-sided game. But it's funny because, you look at some of the stats and like, okay, something doesn't jive here. For example, here's Patrick Mahomes. In two-thirds of his games, he's going to score 30 or more points. That's automatic. I mean, he's that good. And he's right now the best quarterback in football. So now you have that, and so you say, okay, he can outscore Jimmy Garoppolo, but then you look at the numbers this year, the 49ers scored 29.9 points, and the Chiefs scored 28.2. Now, part of that was that little downturn when he had the dislocated knee, and he missed two games, and he couldn't run in the game against Tennessee, but of course, he still threw for 446 yards. So it's like, I just give the edge to Kansas City because they've got Patrick Mahomes. It's a quarterback-driven league. I mean, what you watch in him is what you see even more in Russell Wilson, in the standpoint as the game goes on, he makes adjustments and now can figure things out, and it gets better and better and better. So like what you see in the first quarter is not going to be the same as what you see in the third quarter, because there's going to be so much more in the third quarter.
And, John, you've seen them all, and this is one thing, somebody that's seen the Marinos, Joe Montanas, all going back, and everybody praises Patrick Mahomes' arm like it's this revolutionary arm. There's been some amazing quarterbacks playing this league. Is his arm that much better than the Marinos? Or much better than the Montanas?
No. I covered Dan when he was in high school. I mean, it's Central Catholic. And so it's like, no, that arm was one of the purest you're ever going to see. I mean, it's like it's Aaron Rodgers-like. Yeah. But, I mean, this thing was – but the one similarity was, Dan played baseball. And so he had that fastball and all that stuff. And so, in fact, he was almost going to get away from football and play baseball. But fortunately, he played football and was just great at it. The difference is, Patrick Mahomes has the kind of the second baseman type arm. Russell Wilson told me this. It's like, because I had to ask him a stupid question for SportsCenter one night. And it was like, okay, so it's like, hey, so how does it feel to be in Seattle in a Mariner town and you're wearing Texas Rangers outfit because, they drafted you and all that stuff. And, I had to survive waiting for that answer. And then I had to come back, and that's like, and you know what it is when you do interviews, you got to come back quick. You got to come. And so it's like, hey, so what was baseball meaning to you? And his eyes light up. And what baseball meant to me, he's like, that's why I tell kids that you need to make sure that you play multiple sports, because if you play multiple sports, you learn so many things. He said, for example, I played second base. And when you play second base, your arm angle is different on just about every time where you get the ball and where you have to do it. And I use that in the game. And you look at Patrick Mahomes, he has all these different arm adjustments where he can now flick the ball out here, flick it there, go sidearm, go over the top and all that. And, his ability to run is spectacular. I mean, honestly, I think in just 2 years as a starter, he's emerged as the best quarterback in football.
John Clayton, again, Washington Post and ESPN Radio in Seattle. We're not going to keep you because I know you just did a radio show and you don't want to do another one, but I'm going to ask you one more quarterback question. Yeah. Tom Brady. Does he end up in New England next season? Does he end up elsewhere? What's your gut telling you?
Gut's telling me right now that I think he's leaving.
Really?
Because it's not the matter that he wants to leave, but I think that you're not going to pay him $30 million. Why? I don't know. I mean, he's been giving 70 cents on the dollar since 2013 with his contracts, and I think this year when he realizes, okay, wait a second, I'm making, $23 million, and you didn't get me anything at wide receiver? I got Julian Edelman and a bunch of nobodies. I mean, the tight end, here's how bad it was at tight end for him. They traded Jacob Hollister, okay, kind of an unknown, turned out at the beginning of the season a practice squad player for the Seattle Seahawks. They traded him for a seventh-round pick. He had 41 catches. And he came in after beginning 6 weeks to take over the starting job after 6 weeks because of an injury. 39 catches is all they got from the tight end position. And this is a team that used to have Rob Gronkowski.
We see Jay Glazer today. Yeah. It's attributed to Jay Glazer, although I haven't seen him tweet it himself. Yeah. But I have seen a bunch on Twitter attributing to Jay Glazer that Philip Rivers and the San Diego Chargers are parting ways.
Yeah.
I call them San Diego Chargers.
Yes.
Parting ways. Could that be a landing spot for Tom Brady?
Yes. Yeah, no
Is
question.
Is there another place in your mind that makes sense?
The Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, yeah. And where's Derek Carr? What happened to Derek Carr?
Well, I mean, I think
he had his chances.
He had his chances. No, I mean, it's one of the thoughts because, John Gruden is kind of tough with his language at times. Derek Carr doesn't like tough language. I mean, it's not. I mean, he's a tough guy. I mean, I've watched him on the sideline in the Oakland game over against Seattle in London. Was on the sidelines, and he was arguing with Gruden to get back in the game after he injured his elbow. And so it's like he's tough. But I think that there's something. The relationship may be strained to a point where he might consider taking Tom over Derek.
And one more quarterback question we got in the quarterbacks. One of the biggest narratives this week is Jimmy G can't do it. If he has to win the game, the Super Bowl, Jimmy G can't win the game. Do you agree with that narrative?
Not totally. No, because, again, he had a shootout down in New Orleans 38-36 with Drew Brees, and he won that game. So I'm not going to discount his total chances of being able to do it. I still think the odds go with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, well, we saw. I mean, they were down 24-0, and it was they kind of proved to me over the last 2 weeks, I don't care what the deficit is, he's going to be able to bring them back. I think.
And, you know, I love old school football. I love defense and running the ball, but that old school and new school, I think new school football is kind of taking over now. I don't like it, John, but I think that's where it
is. Well, because, again, I think that's one of the thinking processes up in New England because, you know, Tom can't run. And even though Drew Brees can't run, you know, he has a quarterback in Taysom Hill that goes out there and he runs. So they can get a little bit of that mix in there. But, you know, the two names that I keep seeing associated with New England, number one could be a trade for Andy Dalton, who still has some mobility. I watched him do, RPOs in the first game of the season. So he can still do some of those. But the one that's kind of interesting, because I think Josh McDaniels likes him, is Marcus Mariota.
Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah. How about that Ryan Tannehill story?
Hey, I don't want to get there. Taking jobs.
John Clayton from the Washington Post. You could read his stuff, Washington
Comeback
Post.
Player of the Year.
Yes, sir.
We don't need to hear that.
I know. <it's> like
John Clay, we'll see you all week because you're right across
there
the way from us here on Radio Row. Thank you for making time for us.